Thank you, choir. We are blessed with so much wonderful music in this congregation. Now, knowing that this will be a very full service and a full afternoon, I'm kind of planning my sermon in two parts. Today, I'll give kind of the introduction to the topic, and then next week, I'll speak in a little more detail with more of the stories, because this topic is worthy of our full attention and the full time. But about 2 years ago, right around this time, February of 2017, you might remember that Senator Elizabeth Warren, Democrat of Massachusetts, was challenging the nomination of Jeff Sessions as U.S. Attorney General. That seems like a million years ago, doesn't it? She was challenging him on the basis of racist statements and actions, perhaps, that Sessions had made. And Senator Warren wanted to read into the record a letter written by Coretta Scott King, widow of Dr. King, Martin Luther King, a letter that Coretta Scott King had written in 1986 in opposition to Sessions' appointment then as a judge onto the federal court. Senator Mitch McConnell interrupted Senator Warren repeatedly, trying to get her to stop, impugning the character, as he said, of Senator Sessions. And then he uttered those famous words, "She has been warned, and still she persisted." Kind of a parental tone, right? "And still she persisted, and so I sent her to her room with no supper." You know? And these words, "and still she persisted," have become kind of a battle cry for women, right? And a dear colleague of mine thought that would make a wonderful frame for looking at the legacy of African-American women in history. Many of whom have been instrumental in the fight for justice, but have been overlooked by history. And so this remembrance of some of the important women of African American history was inspired by the work of my colleague, and I want to give her credit for that, and also my thanks to her for sharing some of her research with me. And over these past couple of weeks, and especially the last few days, I have been steeped in this history and thinking about these women like Harriet Tubman, who were so courageous. Harriet Tubman somehow, right, through persistence, through sheer determination and bravery, got herself free. She was born a slave, she escaped to freedom, and then she went back multiple times and helped others get free. Running into a burning building to rescue others is how I think about that. So I've been thinking about Harriet Tubman, and I've been thinking about Audre Lorde and Maya Angelou and all these women that have made such a difference in the life of this country. And then yesterday, I happened to be at a basketball game, the ODU women's basketball game that M invited me to join. And before the game started, by the way, they didn't win. It seemed like Charlotte just wanted it more. I don't know. They played, but anyway, it was unfortunate. They didn't win. It was a good game. But before the game, someone walked out with some microphones on stands, and then this group of maybe a dozen African-American young college students, men and women, came out and they assembled themselves with their director to sing the national anthem. And the PA announcer invited us to stand and remove our hats in preparation for hearing the national anthem that was to be sung by this gospel group at ODU, one of the first, if not the first, African-American groups kind of acknowledged by the university. And so here was this group of African-American young men and women singing our national anthem, singing of the land of the free and the home of the brave. And I thought about Colin Kaepernick and all the controversy, right? So we're talking about a millionaire taking a knee during the national anthem in protest of treatment of African-Americans. And then we have this group of earnest college students singing those words. Singing those aspirational words of the land of the free. And I actually found myself kind of tearful and was thinking, I'm never inviting Reverend Justine to a basketball game again. hadn't even started yet. I'm already crying. But it got me. Are you kind of with me on this, the juxtaposition? And it's like, what are we talking about, right? We're talking about these spectacles of rich people taking actions that make us nervous. And then here's this beautiful group. And then I looked at them a little more closely and I saw it was mostly women. It was a mixed group, but there were only a few men. It was mostly women. Well, African-American men are much more likely to be in jail than in college. So maybe that's why there are more women than men. And I thought about that. Imagine looking at your child and saying, you're more likely to go to jail than to college. And then during the game, there was a trivia test going on, and people, I guess, there was a contest, and you could give an answer and win a prize. And one of the questions was, who was the first African-American to graduate from ODU? And I don't remember the name of the person, but an African-American man was awarded the first bachelor's degree from ODU in 1969. So those of you that are much younger than me might think of that as a long time ago, but if it's in your lifetime, it's not a long time ago, right? That's only 50 years ago that the first bachelor's degree was awarded to an African-American person. 100 years after the Civil War. So we can think about the progress and we can be grateful for that, but we have a long way to go. So I've been thinking about all of that, and I wanted to make sure that we had time to really think about the women of African American history. So next week is March, which is Women's Month, so it'll work out that we can, and it is kind of interesting, isn't it, that, you know, we have to have these, like, African American History Month, Women's History Month. I try to weave these themes into services throughout the year, but there is something powerful about taking time to remember Araminta Ross, better known as Harriet Tubman, born into slavery in 1822. In Dorchester County, Maryland. She suffered all the violence and indignity that you would expect a slave to have suffered. Once she was hit in the head with a large metal object that her master had intended for someone else. So he whipped something intended for someone else, but it hit her in the head. And this left her with lifelong seizures and headaches and frequent hallucinations, which she experienced as religious visions. And still she persisted. In 1849, because of her own poor health and the death of her owner, she decided to escape to the North. She changed her name to Harriet after her mother and Tubman after her husband. Two of her brothers accompanied her partway, but they turned back. They were afraid. She made it to Pennsylvania to freedom, but she returned 19 more times into that burning building, back into slavery states, and she led some 60 others to freedom. I didn't know that she served as a spy during the Civil War, and she collaborated with John Brown on his famous raid. Who knew this? That she, a woman with a disability, had played such significant roles not only in freeing slaves, but in the course of the war. A partially disabled woman with a head injury. Imagine. There's a concept in psychology called learned helplessness. It was first observed in lab animals who would engage in behavior if they got a reward, and then they would cease a behavior if some behavior got them punishment, such as a shock. But if they were punished at random, with no discernible pattern or cause, with no clear way to affect the outcome, the animals would just lie down, give up, stop taking nourishment, and they would die. So this is observed in lab animals. So think about slavery. Think about people being held captive in service to other people, mistreated in every possible way, at random, They could be sold, separated from their loved ones. There was no legal marriage for slaves. No say over any of the dozens of decisions that we all make in a day. When, where, what to eat, what to wear, what work to do, when to rest. Slavery permeated every aspect of their physical experience. But some of them had a secret weapon. Many of them found a way to have a spiritual life that their slave owners could not touch, could not take from them. And for women like Harriet Tubman, their faith gave them hope and fueled their resilience and their resistance. To take action on your own behalf, inspired by God or by principles of fairness and decency, but to take action is the opposite of learned helplessness. Even to risk death is an act of agency, an act of being alive. I'm not sure that I would be as brave as Tubman was to get myself free and then go back again and again and again, gathering slaves from town to town. So what do you say? Should we put her picture on the $20 bill? So I've got more women to talk about, and I'm going to do that next week. And the music will fit, because it always does by magic, so that's fine. But we're going to keep, is that okay if we continue this conversation? So I'm going to close with these words by Audre Lorde from her piece, Litany for Survival. For those of us who live at the shoreline, standing upon the constant edges of decision, crucial and alone. For those of us who cannot indulge the passing dreams of choice, who love in doorways, coming and going in the hours between dawns, looking inward and outward at once before and after, seeking a now that can breed futures like bread in our children's mouths, so their dreams will not reflect the death of ours. For those of us who were imprinted with fear like a faint line in the center of our foreheads, learning to be afraid with our mother's milk, for by this weapon, this illusion of some safety to be found, the heavy-footed hoped to silence us. For all of us, this instant and this triumph, we were never meant to survive. And when the sun rises, we are afraid it might not remain. When the sun sets, we are afraid it might not rise in the morning. When our stomachs are full, we are afraid of indigestion. When our stomachs are empty, we are afraid we may never eat again. And when we are loved, we are afraid love will vanish. When we are alone, we are afraid love will never return. And when we speak, we are afraid our words will not be heard nor welcomed. But when we are silent, we are still afraid. So it is better to speak, remembering we were never meant to survive. Let us remember these courageous, wise, and bold women of color who, against great odds, nevertheless persisted. May it be so. And let's clap for Audre Lorde. She was amazing. Yes. And let us sing together one of my favorite hymns, number 155, Circle Round for Freedom. Please rise in body or spirit.